say this to the Lord. Lord, would you please speak to my heart today through the message and draw me closer to you? Would you say that to the Lord? Lord, speak to my heart today and draw me closer to you. Secondly, would you say to the Lord, Lord, help the preacher to preach the message exactly as you'd have him to today, filled with your spirit. Simply means controlled completely with your spirit. And lastly, would you say to the Lord, Lord, we want everything to bring praise and honor and glory to you. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for letting us come to church today. Lord, I pray that the message will indeed speak to our hearts. Guide me through it. Lord, I pray that you'll help me to be clear, speak with clarity. Lord, have liberty to preach, Lord, whatever you'd have us to preach. And I pray that it will indeed speak to our hearts. And Lord, all the praise always goes to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. All right. In this year's Duke Mayo Bowl, this past Wednesday, WVU's football team defeated the University of North Carolina Tar Heels by a score of 30-10. That ought to be something. And they finished the season with a 9-4 record. Isn't that good? Sure beats where we've been, right? You know, I don't know if you noticed or not, but in that game, and from what I understand, at least it was a possibility for most of the bowl games, the non-playoff games in the bowl season, they allowed the players to wear helmets, not all of them, but like maybe a couple on offense, including the quarterback, and maybe a couple players at least on defense, to wear a helmet that had a speaker inside the helmet. So during the game, and this is different, this has not been allowed in college football. Now, in the NFL, from what I understand, in 1994, they started allowing their quarterbacks to have helmets with speakers so they could get the play in. But in college, that's a new idea, a new concept, and they're playing around with that a little bit, and that way they don't have to worry about people trying to steal signals of the plays that may be called in. But as they have on the helmets and they're listening to the speaker, you know what? They're hearing the guidance and instruction, if you will, the plays on what should come next from their coach or coaches. Pretty cool concept. I think it might work. It might be a winner. Now, these players are playing against an opponent on a football field. And they're getting the signal, if you will, the direction, the guidance, the instruction from a speaker in their helmet. You know, we're entering a brand new year. And guess what? We're in a game called the Christian life. I think it's really, really important that we get our signals, that we get our instruction, that we get our guidance from the Lord. Y'all agree with that? Now, we don't go around and say, you know what, I have on a Christian helmet today. And as I wear my Christian, it'd look kind of odd, by the way. But if we went around and said, I have on my Christian helmet, and God would speak through that speaker, that would be pretty grand, wouldn't it? That'd be pretty good. But guess what? I can still hear the voice of God without a helmet. Let me tell you. Why can I hear, or how can we hear, is what we're going to be talking about today. Because we want to hear the voice of God in 2024. Now, some of you may be thinking, and really, this concept is not understood by a lot of people. We're going to try the best we can. That's one reason I prayed for clarity, to make sure that I can clarify it as best I can about the voice of the Lord in the life of a Christian. You see, God lives inside of us in the form of the Holy Spirit. Now, some people might think, you know, the voice of the Lord, is a preacher totally lost it? Or what? How much eggnog did he drink over the holidays? And it's not spiked, by the way. It's just good eggnog. I'm a teetotaler, you know. But you might say, hey, are you crazy, preacher? The voice of God. I haven't heard the voice of God. Well, it's not an audible voice, Okay, it's not, I wish it was sometimes, you know, like a big thundering voice from the mountain saying, now this is what I want you to do. That would be great. But let me tell you, the Lord speaks to us in that still small voice inside of us. In a general way, and we'll get a little bit more specifics here in a moment, but because the Holy Spirit lives inside of us, and we have the completed Word of God before us, and we have the gift of prayer to go to God, as we do that and live the life that God has for us, the Holy Spirit inside of us says, psst, this is what I want you to do. Psst, this is what your next step in life is supposed to be. Psst, this is who you're supposed to go witness to. Psst, this is what I, you know, on and on. God speaks to us through His Word and through the Holy Spirit as we ask God for guidance and direction. Now, some people, honestly, this could be a life-changing type of message. Because you're saying, I just don't know. I've never heard the still small voice of God in my heart. I've never sensed God giving me direction. If that's you today, as a Christian, I want you to listen up real close. This could be a life-changing message. And for those who have heard the still small voice of God, and again, this is not mystical or something strange or like, woo, it's not Twilight Zone type of stuff. It's not an audible voice, but I'm telling you, the God of the universe is a big enough God to speak to our hearts. And if we're not hearing the voice of God, guess where the problem rests? With us and not with God. Because God is giving us what He needs us to hear, giving us guidance and direction. Now, I'll say and I'll probably repeat, okay? In a general way, we have God's Word that gives us direction on what we're supposed to do and not supposed to do, right? And no one can come and say, well, I'm so-and-so, so therefore I don't have to do what the Bible says. No, we're not excluded, okay? This book, you say, well, we don't have to have a voice of God for that. And you're absolutely right. It's right here. We already have the written Word of God. So if it says don't do it, guess what we as Christians ought to do? We ought to not do it. If it says do it, guess what? It's right here in black and white. We ought to do it. Now, whenever we get outside of that and don't listen to the clear revelation from God in His Scripture, the Holy Spirit might get after us called, and that's called conviction or the chastening of the Lord. And the Lord says, hey, Bubba, guess what? You're not doing what you're supposed to be doing. Or it might say, hey, I want to get your attention. You're doing something you ought not be doing. So you see, that Holy Spirit speaks to us when we get away from this. Now, a lot of things people are all kind of, I'm just not sure what to do. Well, if it goes against the Word of God, you ought not do it. You know, it's amazing how many times people sometimes want to make excuses for doing what they want to do. You know, I'm not sure if I'm going to go live with that person or not, you know, in this immoral relationship. I'm praying about it. Hey, folks, you don't got to pray about that. You don't have to pray about immorality. It's wrong. It's sin. So that's clear, right? But specifically what we're going to talk about today, what about God speaking to your heart specifically about His plans for your life and His schedule for your day, even tomorrow? Where do we get direction from that? We get that from the voice of the Lord. Now, this, of course, gives us those clear guidelines. But I don't see anywhere written it says, Steve, I want you to be a preacher. Where I didn't see it written in Scripture at all. But I heard by spending time in the Word and asking God for direction and living the life that God wanted me to live, I heard the still small voice of God say, guess what? I'm calling you to be a pastor. Now, God just doesn't talk to preachers. God will talk to all of us. If we're in the relationship that we need to be with Him, again, in that still, small voice for direction and guidance and instruction. If you would, turn in your Bibles, if you would, to 1 Samuel chapter 3. 1 Samuel chapter 3. Title of the message, How to Hear and Obey the Lord's Voice in 2024. How to Hear and Obey the Lord's Voice in 2024. Now, we're gonna read the whole chapter of chapter 3, all 21 verses here, okay? Now, here's an instance. This is in the Old Testament, okay? That's when they had priests. We're gonna be reading about a young fella, probably about 12 years old or so at this point, probably. His name is Samuel, okay? We're going to be reading about Samuel. Now, you say, what do we know about Samuel? I'm going to give you a little bit of background, okay? Remember Hannah and Elkanah. You ever heard that name? Hannah did not have any children. She was barren. And remember, she went to the tabernacle, was praying, and was lifting up her concern to the Lord. And you remember Eli, the priest at the time, saw it and thought she was drunk. And she was just pouring out her heart to God, saying, I want a child. So he kind of rebukes her a little bit and said, no, I'm just asking. And then Eli said, guess what? The Lord's going to bless you with a child. And remember, Hannah from the very beginning said, Lord, you give me a child, I'll give him back to you. And the Lord blessed Hannah with Samuel. And right after Samuel was weaned, he was brought to Eli and the priest to serve in the house of the Lord. Now, is that kind of ringing a bell a little bit? Okay, now, this is the Samuel right here that was a gift from God that Hannah committed to the Lord. Now, notice, it says in verse 1, and the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli. And the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. Now, we're going to talk about that a little bit more. In other words, God didn't do a whole lot of communicating with the people. And we're going to look at it in just a moment because there wasn't a whole lot of people that was serving God at the time. So he wasn't communicating with them, either with a voice or with a vision, a whole lot. But we're going to have an instance right here where the Lord communicates. Verse 2, and it came to pass at that time when Eli was laid down in his place, and his eyes began to wax dim that he could not see. And ere the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep. Okay, so you got Eli the priest. Now, I might want to tell you right now, he has two wicked sons who are priests with him. Hophni and Phinehas, or Phinehas, however you want to say it. They're wicked. We'll look at that in a moment. But here you have Samuel, about a 12-year-old. If I'm understanding this right, and it is open to interpretation a little bit, but they had the responsibility of keeping the lamp of God lit. It was like a seven candlestick type of thing that he had to keep lit in the house of God. And it seems to me that Samuel at this point was responsible for it. Samuel had to make sure that it stayed lit. That was one of the responsibilities of the priests. And it says that Samuel was laid down. So, verse 4, then the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, here am I. So the Lord, here is the Lord's voice, called Samuel, and Samuel said, here am I. And he ran unto Eli, that's Samuel run to Eli, the older gentleman, the priest, and said, here am I, for thou callest me. And he said, I called not, lie down again. And he went and lay down. And the Lord called yet again Samuel, and Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, here I am, for thou didst call me. And he answered, I called not, my son, lay down again. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. Now, you can take this two different ways. Either he did not have a real relationship with the Lord, or he had got to the point that he did not recognize the voice of the Lord. Now, you can take that two different ways. I tend to believe that he did have a relationship with the Lord, but he had not yet understood how to listen to the Lord in that close walk. Remember, the Lord hadn't spoke to a whole lot of people at this point. That's what it says, right? So, here you got Samuel. Here, verse 8. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time. And he arose and went to Eli and said, here am I, for thou didst call me. And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. So you get the picture here? You get the picture. Eli is trying to sleep. okay? Samuel is there. He is laid down also. But it seems to me that he's responsible for keeping the candlestick lit in the house of God. And he hears a voice. The Lord calls him, Samuel. And he thinks that Eli, the priest, is calling him. So he goes three different times, and Eli goes, I didn't call you. Well, you called me again. I didn't call you. Well, you called me. I didn't call you. Three times. Everybody still with me? Give me a little nod. You look kind of tired. You got the holiday blahs. Okay. All right. Just a little nod. There we go. All right. It says, verse 9, then Eli said unto Samuel, go lie down, and it shall be, if he call thee, that thou shalt say, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. So Samuel went and lay down in his place. Notice this. It's phrased a little different. All before it, it says the Lord called. But notice this fourth time. It says, and the Lord came and stood and called as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. Something else is a little different. Instead of calling his name once, he calls it twice. Then Samuel answered, just like Eli said, speak, for thy servant heareth. And the Lord said to Samuel, behold, I will do a thing in Israel at which both the ears of everyone that heareth it shall tingle. In that day I will perform against Eli all things which I have spoken concerning his house. When I begin, I will also make an end. For I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knoweth, because his sons made themselves vile, and he restrained them not. And therefore I have sworn unto the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be purged with sacrifice nor offering forever. So what he's telling Samuel is, guess what? I am going to bring judgment to Eli, who's not been a good dad, who has not enforced the rules of the priesthood to his sons. I'm going to bring down Hophni. I'm going to bring down Phinehas or Phinehas, and they are no longer going to be priests. Now, this is fulfilled ultimately like 130 years later or so, but he's saying, this is what I'm telling you that's going to happen. Everybody still with me? All right. Verse 15, and Samuel lay until the morning. I wonder if he slept any that night. And opened the doors of the house of the Lord. That's interesting. He still had enough wherewithal that he opened the doors of the house of the Lord. And Samuel feared to show Eli the vision. Then Eli called Samuel and said, Samuel, my son. And he answered, here am I. And he said, what is the thing that the Lord has said unto thee? I pray thee, hide it not from me. God do so to thee, and more also, if thou hide anything from me, of all the things that he said unto thee. Verse 18, and Samuel told every whit and hid nothing from him. And he said, it is the Lord, let him do what seemeth him good. And Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and did let none of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel from Dan, that's the northernmost part of Israel, even to Beersheba, southernmost part of Israel, knew that Samuel was established to be a prophet of the Lord, priest and prophet. And the Lord appeared again in Shiloh, for the Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Lord. So this happened, this repeated itself again and again, that the Lord spoke to Samuel. Okay? So, that's a cool story, isn't it? And just like our Sunday school class this morning, we were reading about the circumcision of Jesus on the eighth day and the 40th day, where they offered a sacrifice to cleanse Mary of her impurity and then also to redeem the child back in the 40 days. And we read that story about Simeon. And I told him, I said, you're going to teach the class today. And so we got to the end. I said, so what? And that's what we should do with the Word of God, right? We ought to read it. And not just like, oh, let's cram my brain with more and more facts. We ought to say, so what? So how can I apply it, right? So we read this story. That's a cool story. Yeah, Lord's voice. Yeah, that's right. Back, talk to Samuel, and Samuel finally got it, and Samuel was used to the Lord and everything. But you know what? We can bring that up to today. We can bring that to 2024, the new year. Do you know that God wants us to hear His voice? God wants us to hear His voice even more in 2024. And God wants us to serve Him better in 2024. There's something about a new year. There's something about a new year that's kind of cool to me. It's kind of like, I have an opportunity to do better. It's almost like one chance after another chance after another chance. You may be sitting here today, you may be saying, you know what? I completely made a mess of 2023. I got good news. You can make 2024 a whole lot better than 2023. Now, you say, preacher, I can't do anything about illness and about this family member that passed. And you're absolutely right. There's parts of our life that we cannot control. But can I say we can control us with God's power and God's help? And as we listen to the voice of the Lord. Today, in particular, we're going to look at how to hear and obey the Lord's voice in 2024. Now, we're going to take what happened in this story and in principle apply it to today, to 2024. How to hear and obey the Lord's voice in 2024. Number one, point number one, this is profound. Are you ready for this? How do you hear God's voice? Point number one, do right. Isn't that profound? Do right. God did not do a lot of direct speaking because there was not a lot of people doing right. Eli, as we talked about, he did not stop his sons from sinning. As the priest, as also priest Hophni and Phinehas, or Phinehas, however you want to say it, they were downright wicked. If you look at chapter 2 and verse 12, it says, now the sons of Eli were sons of Belial. Now that's sons of the devil or sons of wickedness. They knew not the Lord. Then you drop down to verse 17. Wherefore the sin of the young men was very great before the Lord, for men abhorred the offering of the Lord. You know what they did when people brought their animals to the house of the Lord for an offering? You know what? Hophni, and let's just call him Phinehas, okay? That's what I'm used to calling him. You can say Phinehas, whatever. They would take the best meat and use it and eat it themselves. And it said people dreaded to come and offer their sacrifice, which you should never dread serving the Lord, right? They were dreading it because they were going to steal the good part of the meat and eat it. And that's not all. If you look at verse 22. Now Eli was very old of the same chapter, chapter 2, verse 22. Now Eli was very old and heard all that his sons did unto all Israel and how they, notice this, lay with the women that assembled at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. Wow. You see, there weren't very many godly people that God would speak to at this point. You got the priest Eli, who obviously had some good points, but he was not keeping his sons in line and was not disciplining them the way he should. And you got Hophni and Phinehas. They were stealing the good parts of the offering, of the sacrifices, and they were having immoral relationships with women at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. In the pronouncement of the voice of the Lord talking to Samuel, it says, behold, I will do a thing in Israel, which both the ears of everyone that heareth it shall tingle. I'm going to remove them. That was the message in verses 11 to 14 that we read, that they're going to be removed from the priesthood. I'm going to take care of that. So God did not do a lot of direct speaking because there was not a lot of people doing right. Wow. If there's any application to today, you might be sitting there and say, you know what, I'm not sure God ever has spoken to my heart. Well, guess what? because you're not doing right. You know, one of those things I say quite often, do what you know to do is right. I mean, you can put it on my tombstone if you want to. If the Lord don't come back first, I'm still voting for the rapture. How many of you vote for the rapture? Okay, it's about still a pretty heavily favored vote to vote for the rapture. But if I die, you can put it on my... He did what he knew to do was right. I mean, that's what we got to do, right? So maybe if God's not speaking, it's because we're not doing right. Can I tell you that Samuel appeared to be doing what was right? You know, I related to you about he was the son of Hannah that promised him to the Lord. If you'll give me a son, I'll give him back to the Lord. And God did. In chapter 2 and verse 21, notice what it says. Chapter 2 and verse 21, notice what it says. It says, and the Lord visited Hannah so that she conceived and bare 3 sons and 2 daughters. God blessed her abundantly. And the child Samuel grew before the Lord. Notice in verse 26 of chapter 2, and the child Samuel grew on and was in favor both with the Lord and also with men. And notice, even in the passage that we read, what was Samuel doing? He was doing what he was supposed to be doing. He was making sure the candles were staying lit. You see? It says in verse 1, and the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord. So you got wicked Hophni and Phinehas and Eli, who wasn't a man that stood up for right. And then you got Samuel. Who did God speak to? Spoke to Samuel, right? You know, today, if we want to hear the voice of God, and again, I'm not saying you're going to hear an audible voice. I'm not saying you're going to hear a vision. I'm really skeptical of visions. God can do whatever he wants to do, but we have the completed Word of God, and we have the Holy Spirit living inside of us. When I talk about the voice of God, I want to make sure you get this. I'm talking about the still, small voice of God. When you ask God about something, what am I supposed to do here? What do you want me to do today? What do you have for my life? When you ask those little questions, big questions like what am I supposed to do with my life? Who am I supposed to marry? Where am I supposed to go to school? And on and on and on. Things like that. I'm talking about the still small voice of God. You had a group that was ungodly that God no longer spoke to. And you had Samuel, who was serving the Lord, and God spoke to him directly. You know, you say, preacher, preacher, preacher. I think some of you like saying that. Preacher, preacher, preacher. That's the Old Testament. But you know, the same principle is repeated in the New Testament. In particular, in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Look at these verses. It says, this is Paul writing to the Roman Christians in the New Testament era in which we live, the age of grace. He says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies, or because of the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. You go before God and say, God, here I am. I'm living, I'm not going to die on the altar, but here I am, I'm a sacrifice. I will live my life for you. And it says, holy, different. And we got so many Christians who are trying to fit in so much with the world that we no longer are holy. We no longer are separate. We're no longer different. It says, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. It's not outstanding service, it's just what God expects from his children. Right? Notice verse 2. And be not conformed to this world. Wow. You want God to speak to your heart? Don't be conformed to the world. Don't be listening to the world's music. Don't be listening to the world's philosophy. Don't be listening to all the things they tell us we need to be doing. Don't be acting just like the world. Don't be amusing yourself just like the world and all the ungodly amusements. Guess what? We're not supposed to be conformed to the world. People say, why doesn't God speak to me? Why doesn't God use me? Well, are you doing right? it says, not conform to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind. The only way I know to renew our mind is by the Word of God. It's the most talked about, least used book ever made, ever put into practice. God says, guess what? You need to be reading this. You need to be part of this. You need to be renewing your mind by getting in the Word. And then what's it say? That you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That's talking about for an individual. What do you want me to do? Whether it be today, whether it be with my life, whether it be the person I marry, whether it be where I go to school, whether it be what I do for a living, on and on and on. And it says the way you do that is being a living sacrifice. Lord, here I am. By not conforming to the world, but letting the Word of God transform your mind. In other words, doing right is how we get direction from God. Doing right is how we listen to the voice of God. I want 2024 to be your best year ever. I mean that very sincerely. Spiritually, I want 2024 to be the best year you've ever had, spiritually. We need to hear the voice of God. We need to be listening to the voice of God. And we're not going to hear the voice of God if we're not doing right. Notice I didn't say doing perfect. I said doing right. Our life needs to be characterized by doing what God wants us to do. If you agree with that, say amen. If you're convicted by the Lord, say, oh me. How to hear and obey the Lord's voice in 2024. Number one, do right. Number two, discern the Lord's voice. Get it out here. Discern the Lord's voice. Discern the Lord's voice. You remember, Samuel was somewhat of a rookie at telling God's voice, right? Three times he thought it was Eli's voice. Finally, he got it. Can I say that today there's an awful lot of voices that we hear? We hear the voice of the world. Now, if you listen to the voice of the world says, do you know what you need? You need a brand spanking new car. And it needs to have all the gadgets. And there's nothing wrong with that. If God tells you to buy a brand spanking new car and you have the resource, as long as you're not factoring God out, okay? But the philosophy of the world says, you'll be happy when you get all these toys. You'll be happy when you do all of these pleasures. You'll be happy when you make yourself happy. You know, I've heard people say, and can I say, it almost cracks me up when I hear people say, well, God intends me to be happy. You know what? That's not necessarily true. We'll experience eternal happiness at some point, right? But God is a whole lot more concerned with your holiness than He is with your happiness. Now, we got to make sure that we're listening to the right voice. Samuel had a little bit of problem with that. You know, the world tells us, do whatever you want. There really are no standards, the world would say. The world's philosophy, that is. You know, the flesh says, do whatever feels good, right? And we hear that voice. Well, we can hear those voices really loud. All you got to do is listen to anybody in the world, any media outlet, and for the most part, unless it's a very good Christian outlet, you're going to hear the world's philosophy. And all you got to do is say, well, what makes me happy? And then, boom, it pops right out. Yeah, that'll make me happy. I'll do it. Wrong, wrong, wrong. We don't want to listen to the voice of the flesh. And the old devil wants to see you miserable and destroyed and your testimony a wreck and wants you to go through life just muddling through. And the old devil will say, well, this is what you should do and this is what you should do and why don't you do this? And when you look at God's word and say, no, that's not right. We need to reject all of the wrong voices that we hear. And they're loud and they're persistent. Notice I said loud. What voice does God speak to us with? A still, small voice. And part of the problem is, I remember an old song, I think the Inspirations used to sing, when I hear the world, I can't even hear what you're saying. It's kind of like, you know, I need to turn the volume down on the world and listen to the Lord's voice instead. You see, there's all kind of voices out there. If we want to hear and obey the Lord's voice, we need to do right. We need to discern the Lord's voice. Again, for clarification purposes, where do we hear the Lord's voice? I want to make this very clear, okay? We understand what is right and what is wrong by this standard called the Word of God. And again, if you hear something, regardless of where it's coming from, if you hear anything inside of you or hear a voice even on the radio saying, I mean, as you listen to your favorite radio station or whatever, saying, you know, this is what, you need to go back to the Word of God. Because this is the ultimate perfect Word of God right here. And if it goes against this book, whatever voice you're listening to says, it's wrong. Don't do it. Do you know what I mean? I mean, this is clear, right? Now, what we like to do is pick and choose what we want to do and don't do, right? Oh, go to church. Be faithful to go. Not to forsake assembling of yourselves together. Oh, that's kind of negotiable. Can I tell you, God's word's not negotiable. You either accept it all or you accept none of it. And then certain pet peeves and pet sins we have, oh, that's okay, I'll just hold on to that one, but I'll be pretty good in this area. You know, we don't pick and choose. Here is God's Word. And we hear His voice in God's Word as we read it because He's the one that wrote it, right? And these, again, are general principles for us. And sometimes they're very, I believe you can find in the Bible the answer to any social issue that we have today. It's here. It's here. The answer is here. So we need to listen to that voice. But what I'm talking about is when God wants you to do something, how does He let you know? Through the still, small voice of the Lord. In a right relationship with the Lord. That's where a lot of people get disqualified from the very beginning. Well, I don't hear God because you're not living right. Until we live right, we're not going to hear the voice of God clearly because we're not in that close walk with the Lord. It's like the Lord is yelling at us from 13 miles away because we're so distant in our relationship from the Lord. So we need to do right. And then we can hear that still small voice. And we hear that still small voice as we read Scripture that gives all of us general principles to live by and the principles we should incorporate into our life, God will somehow make the light bulb come on. Like, boom, bing, dang, boom, boom, shakalaka, whatever. There it is. I hear it, God. You're telling me the answer that I've been looking for as we look at His Word. You know, God has spoken to my heart when I've been out there listening to a message. And God has clarified to me what His will is for my life. I've heard the voice of God. It centers around a life that's doing right and the Word of God, which is perfect. And we need to have the willingness to say, Lord, I want Your will. We've got to have the want to. So, again, I don't want anybody thinking, preacher's really, really whacked out. He's talking about the voice of God and hearing voices. I'm talking about hearing the voice of God as the Holy Spirit of God uses the Word of God to speak to the child of God so that we become more and more and more and more like the Son of God. I don't know about you, but I want to hear God's voice. I want to hear His direction every step of my life. I'm thankful that God gives me direction. You say, preacher, I still think you're talking Old Testament principles. You're talking visions. You're talking voices. Well, what about John chapter 10? John chapter 10. You know, these are the very words of Jesus. Very words of Jesus right here. Notice, it says, to him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. Talking about our shepherd, Jesus, right? And he calleth his own sheep by name and leadeth them out. Notice verse 4. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his, what's that word? Voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. Look at verse 16 of John chapter 10. Chapter 16, and other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. And then look at verse 27. This is very clear. I mean, this is like Christianity 101. It's a simple verse. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. It's not a strange concept to hear the voice of God. That still small voice of direction and urging to do what is right in God's plan for our life. How to hear and obey the Lord's voice in 24. Number one, do right. Number two, discern the Lord's voice. And the others will go a little bit faster, okay? Point number three, display a want to for the Lord's will. Display a want to for the Lord's will. In verse 10 in this story back with Samuel, Eli instructed him, and guess what he said when he heard the voice? Speak, for thy servant heareth. Seemed like there was a willing attitude there from Samuel, don't you? Don't you think it was there? You know, some of the problems with us as Christians, we just don't want to do what God wants us to do. And I had a devotion at winter camp, one of the cabin devotions at night, and I was talking about our little pea brain, our little pea-sized brain. Actually, compared to God, it's not even pea-sized, okay? It doesn't even register, I'm sure, compared to the magnificence and the knowledge of God. I mean, ours is not even on the scale. But to kind of get a concept, our little pea brain. So really what's going on in the life of some Christians with our little pea brain, like, I don't want to do what God wants me to do. I want to do what I want to do. And you can just keep on doing it. God doesn't make us robots. You can just keep on doing it. Now, he might bring chastening and conviction of the Lord into your life. There may be some major speed bumps to try to get your attention. But can we not get the concept that the best place for us to be is listening to the voice of the Lord in his word and through the Holy Spirit and doing exactly what the plan is he has for your life. You see, God has a plan for our life. It's up to us just to listen to the voice of God and get in the center of God's plan and his will for our life. You see, we got to have the want to. And I can't tell. I look at you today and everybody looks like you got the want to, but there could be some out there today that says, I ain't got the want to, preacher. I'm as close to God as I want to be. If that's your attitude, you need to examine your relationship with the Lord. How to hear and obey the Lord's voice in 2024. Number one, do right. Number two, discern the Lord's voice. Number three, display a want to for the Lord's will. Paul said something like this, and I love this. He says in Philippians 1:21, For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. To live is Christ. It's not like, well, I'm going to kind of fit him in somewhere. Life is supposed to be all about Jesus. Number four, how to hear and obey the Lord's voice in 2024. Delight in the Lord's presence and blessing. Once you listen to the Lord's voice and you put it into practice, guess what? You can delight in the Lord's presence and blessing. Look at verses 19 and 20. And Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and did none of his words fall to the ground. In other words, as a prophet, everything he said came true. Wow, God blessed him. Verse 20. And all Israel from Dan, remember the northernmost point? City, even to the Beersheba, the southernmost city, knew that Samuel was established to be a prophet of the Lord. You know, if you start to listen to the voice of the Lord and start doing it his way in your life, God will bless you. Now, I'm not saying like some of these yahoos on television tell you they're going to bless you with a brand new car and the biggest house and the best job. I don't believe that's biblical. That's not scriptural. Paul would have a real problem with these health and wealth preachers on television. He would. But I will tell you, God will bless you for listening to His voice and doing what He wants you to do. In a whole lot bigger ways than material blessing. He'll bless you in spiritual ways. He'll bless your family. He'll bless your grandkids. He'll bless your workplace. He'll bless on and on and on. He'll bless you in lots of ways. And when you stand before the Lord at the judgment seat of Christ someday, you don't have to make a bunch of excuses. You can say, you know what? I listened to the Lord's voice. And we'll even be blessed at the judgment seat. I'd like to hear well done, wouldn't you? Thou good and faithful servant. You know, the Lord's with us all the time now in the presence of the Holy Spirit, right? Living inside of us. What an amazing thing. Remember when Jesus was talking to His disciples in the upper room discourse, how He talked about, you know, I'm going to send you a comforter. I'm going to send you a guide. Wow. Delight in the Lord's presence and blessing. Last point, duplicate the process often. You say, huh? Listen to the Lord. Get to know His voice as you read His word and listen to the Holy Spirit. And take a step. And then take another step and listen for the Lord's voice. And another step and another. It says there in verse 21, the Lord appeared again in Shiloh, for the Lord revealed Himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Lord. It sounds like that God was speaking to Samuel's life repeatedly. He just simply listen and listen and listen some more. So duplicate the process of listening to the Lord's voice often. Today, how to hear and obey the Lord's voice in 2024. Number one, do right. Number two, discern the Lord's voice. Number three, display a want to for the Lord's will. Number four, delight in the Lord's presence and blessing. And number five, duplicate the process often. In other words, repeat it again and again and again. You know, college football may go to using the speaker in the helmet all the time. Might. Don't know. But hopefully and prayerfully, you are listening to the voice of the Lord in your life. And if you're not hearing the voice of the Lord, you said, preacher, I'm a Christian. I know, I'm saved. If you're not hearing the Lord's voice, maybe you're not saved. But if you're there today and you say, no, I know, I'm saved. Why am I not hearing? Well, are you doing right? Are you doing right? I mean, God doesn't use a dirty vessel very often. I mean, sometimes in His grace and mercy He does, but usually He doesn't. So if you're not doing right, if you want to hear God's voice, start doing right. Do what you know to do is right. Are you discerning the Lord's voice? Or are you listening to all the wrong voices? God's voice is perfect. That's the one you need to listen to. Are you displaying a want to? Do you have the want to listen to God's voice and to do it His way? If not, there's a problem. Because you are God's property. When you got saved, you said, Lord, here I am. I'm yours. And then the good news is if you do all that, you can delight in the Lord's presence and blessing, and you can just keep on going back to Him and say, Lord, I want to hear Your voice. I want to know what You want me to do in life. Life is confusing in a lot of ways. Y'all agree with that? I'm thankful that I have a God that knows all about my future. I'm thankful that I have a God that knows all about me. And I'm thankful that I have a God that cares about me so much that He speaks to me through His Word and through His Holy Spirit to give me individual guidance and direction with the problems and the decisions and the obstacles that I face. Boy, what an amazing, amazing God. Do you want 2024 to be the best year for you ever? I'd imagine all of us would say yay to that. Yeah, I want that. But are you listening to the voice of the Lord? Christian, if God is speaking to your heart today in any of these areas we talked about listening to the voice of the Lord, you know that altar is always open. You can come forward anytime God wants you to. Just listen to God. And there's something I even heard this weekend, this week at winter camp. There's something about coming to the altar and humbling yourself. What position do you usually take? Kneeling? to humble yourself before God as we get close to 2024 tomorrow. If you're able and God is speaking, come to the altar and kneel. Humble yourself before God. Say, God, I want to hear your voice. I want to do your will. One more thing. If you're here today and you've never trusted Jesus as your Savior, man, I could not more highly recommend anything than I can trusting Jesus as your Savior. I'll be somewhere down front. If you're here today and you say, you know what, preacher, I'm not sure I'm on my way to heaven. You know, I thought maybe I made a decision, but it just seems so unclear to me. I really just don't know. I just don't know. Or you might say, I know that I'm not saved, as we sing this song in just a moment. I'll be down front. You come forward, and you can say, preacher, I want to be saved, or preacher, I want to know more about this, and I'd love to take time to talk to you. You can have your best year 2024 because you trusted Jesus as your Savior the last day of 2023. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Dear God, we commit the invitation to you now. We pray that we have clarified and rightly divided the word of truth about hearing your voice. Lord, I truly, sincerely pray that everybody under the sound of my voice will have the best 2024 spiritually ever for you and for your glory. Speak to hearts, and Lord, may we hear your voice even now. And Lord, if you're speaking to us to respond, to come to the altar, to be saved, or whatever it might be, Lord, may we listen and obey your voice, which is always, always right. In Jesus' name I pray.